This is Rafflebix After Hours.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to Rack Addicts After Hours. I was actually scrolling through the Rack Addicts Facebook page as we speak. This should be episode 17 then, Pete.
Yes.
Lovely stuff. Pete's here. I'm here. I'm Ben. And Andy is joining us again. Telmo is, I think, busy with uni at the moment. So we're going to catch up on what we've been doing. Bit of a strange situation, as I assume you all know. We'll have a bit of a catch up, see what projects we've got going, what media we've been consuming, as I imagine. Our intake has gone up recently. Who wants to kick things off with a bit of a media thing?
I can start if you want.
Just pour myself. I made a pot of jasmine tea for this podcast. I'm going to crack that open.
Okay, fair enough.
I've just surrounded myself in the Rack Addicts tradition of Stella, so it's all good. Keep going.
Okay, so film-wise... I've been catching up or repeating some watches. My daughter's been doing a marathon Marvel Universe type thing. So she's literally gone through the whole lot because she's got access to the new Disney streaming service. So she's been plowing through all that. So there's literally a constant cycle of that. So I've been sort of dropping in and sort of rewatching some bits and pieces.
She's doing it in Marvel chronological order or like release order?
A relative release order, but it sort of jumped around a bit. I pointed out a few things and then we were having a bit of a debate with trying to rack our brains without having to actually look up which film was released when and so forth. I think we got it reasonably okay. So, but I have also warned her not to binge watch everything because, we're in this for the long haul.
So, we'll have to stretch it out a bit.
This week, the one thing that I was waiting for the end of last week, rather, was the last episode of Picard. I do like a bit of Trek. I wouldn't describe myself as a Trekkie. I don't sort of secretly dress up as a Klingon and speak Klingon and do anything like that. But I've always liked Star Trek. I wouldn't say I necessarily like it more than possibly Star Wars. It's debatable. It can be quite a heated conversation with various people on that subject. There was the final episode of Picard, which was sort of rounded off the, I can't remember how many parts was it. Was it 8 or 10 parts? And sort of left it open for a possible second series. I'm not sure if Patrick Stewart's actually going to be up for it, but that was quite pleasing. What else have I been watching? I mean, mainly not so much... media as such, it's more sort of chores and getting things done. So I was sort of saying to you guys earlier, I'm sort of starting to generate lists and trying to give my days some structure. So the garden's been sort of pimped to an inch of its life. So got that out the way. I'm also going through a deep clean of the studio, something I've neglected for quite a long time. So I had one of those sort of little mini handheld Dysons and sort of a small 1-inch paintbrush, and I'm going around cleaning all the sinks very carefully.
Enjoy doing that, a little bit of a dust.
Yeah.
Although it's impossible if you've got a patch set up because then you can't really get around all the cables, so you have to commit to ripping them all out.
Yeah, I've tried. A lot of my stuff is all sort of tied in. I use an excessive amount of Velcro to tie everything down, and it's all great when it's all together. But when you try and move things or unplug things, it all gets rather messy. But yeah, so I've been having a sort of thorough clean, amongst other things. What about you guys?
Yeah, not a massive amount. We're in a little flat, so any of the chores are kind of, there's only so much of a list. But I did manage to get a few deliveries in, no disruptions there. So Thonk, our favorite DIY Eurorack kit supplier, they've been a little bit overwhelmed, staff shortages and things, but they're still kind of going as much as they can. So I got a Zlob Unicursal VCA, because apparently you can never have too many VCAs. And I've gone for about 2 years of modular without actually having any. I had what was it? It was a Chaos Devices. I have no idea what it's called anymore, but their dual VCN. I never really used it. But now I feel like that was probably a mistake selling that. So now I have six, and I live streamed the building of that. It's probably the least interesting live stream anybody could possibly watch because I was just soldering for over 4 hours. But I did have a bunch of the Modular Cafe community chip in and keep me company while we were going and asking questions about DIY. So that was really fun, actually. That one came through.
Sorry, I just wanted to contest you for the most boring live stream. Because it was something that I just saw recently. Man is put a I don't know how wide it is. It's in like a relatively normal sized English garden. He's put he's made a square and he's running a marathon in it, and he's just going around in circles. That is like fair play to him, but that is by far the most boring live stream.
That could get quite disorientating.
I honestly don't care.
I just wanted to comment on the deliveries, because, as I say, I've actually been ordering quite – I generally order quite a lot of stuff anyway. I kind of use mail order as a quite a useful way of getting stuff to myself. And I'm quite surprised what I have been receiving. So I had to get myself a chest freezer, because I've got a very, very small freezer, and I thought it was prudent because, again – you know, we could be in this situation for quite a long time. So it's not a kind of a move to, you know, do sort of some sort of massive panic buying, as that kind of time has passed anyway. And it's quite restrictive having to go to shops, but it's quite nice that I can sort of freeze stuff, because the worry is the stuff not lasting appropriately long, you know, because if you do get a reasonable shop in, if you can, then there's always the possibility that if it's just fresh products, it's going to potentially go out of date on you.
Yeah, that's the problem. All of our shops tend to be kind of fresh ones, so we'd need to make sure we use them up and not waste anything.
So I managed to get order one of those, and it actually came. It was supposed to come next Tuesday, which I believe is the, can't think what date next Tuesday is. It the 31st? When's the first Wednesday?
Might be the first, actually.
Wednesday, yeah, so it sounds like it was the first, due. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so it was coming on Tuesday the 31st, and it actually came on Friday. So things actually coming quicker than they predict, which was
not bad.
Because you kind of almost adjust your mindset to this new reality of things not quite functioning properly. I mean, I needed some those got green galvanized coach bolts that you use for sort of fencing and decking type things. I don't know if you guys know the sort of thing. And in the past, I would have just literally jumped in the car, driven 5 minutes up the road, gone to a particularly notable or a notable DIY kind of store.
Is it orange by any chance?
No.
The other one.
It's blue. But so I would have gone up the road to there without even thinking about it. And now you think, oh, I can't actually go up there. Even though the DIY and hardware stores have been designated as essential suppliers, most of them seem to have elected to actually shut their stores and just focus on mail order, which I
sensible.
You can see it's understandable. So I had to end up ordering the mail order, but they did come through. But the whole experience is very slow, because to get on their websites now you have to queue.
Oh yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how true this one is, but my dad was looking to do, you know, a delivered grocery shop, and I think Ocado had said they were just going to close, they wouldn't be able to kind of keep up with demand or something, but I think they've opened with a virtual queuing system, as you say, loads of these places have implemented. So my dad logged on. Do you want to place your bets at where he was in the virtual queue?
Wait, time or in position?
In places in the queue.
So, okay, I would imagine several thousand.
It's more. Andy, what do you reckon?
In terms of time, I would have said an hour and a half.
No, it's in terms of places, people.
Oh, people.
He had to bail out because of how many people there were.
I'm going to say 4,500.
He was over 500,000th in the queue.
Nah.
Really?
Don't know if that's going to be an error in the system, but
I'm going to log into Ocado's website now. See where I'm at. Because I know with Morrison's, it was about 26 minutes.
Gotcha.
Okay. With the DIY supplier that I went to, it was... It actually came down to about 9 minutes, which wasn't too bad. But initially, it said some ridiculous time. It's sort of many thousands of minutes initially. And then it sort of jumped down to the real time.
Maybe that's what happened to my dad, and he just bailed out before it actually trickled down.
But it also meant that the actual websites were terribly slow because of the amount of traffic they were experiencing.
Yeah, of course.
So it just shows you the sort of volumes that... They're totally unprecedented. So,
yeah.
I mean, the functionality of the website was really quite janky, to be honest. But I got there eventually. But I think the actual purchase, and this was one item, quantity two of the one item, and I think the whole purchase process took about half an hour because it was so painfully slow to get from each stage to each stage.
Yeah, well, I know that the certain musical instrument retailer that we work for, the payment system has started to do some weird things because it's kind of being overrun. Which is interesting to deal with on a almost a hourly basis.
So constant phone calls from customers sort of asking what the problem is and
yeah,
that type
been
of thing.
Saying like they've been charged three times and we have to go and sort it out manually.
And it was actually doing that.
Yeah, it's normally taking a payment but sort of duplicating it or doing it in triplicate for whatever reason.
I can't believe with our certain music retailer, and I don't know if it's the same as certain other music retailers, there are going to be some virtuosos that come out of the cracks with the amount of
pianos. The amount of people that are picking up the piano. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's amazing.
Yes.
I don't know what
so
it is.
So, I mean, obviously, I've been sort of self-isolating for, and I'm still am till the beginning of next week. But, I mean, what sort of products have been sort of mainly sort of ordered?
A lot of the time, it's, the really cheap keyboards, so Yamaha NP12, NP32, and then the Casio CDPS 100. That's really, really hot.
I don't even know if it's because it's like necessarily the because they're cheaper or anything like that. It's just I think they're the only ones that we've had in stock. Like because we're clearing through
everything.
We haven't
had any in stock for like 2 weeks.
Oh no, the NP12s we don't do it, no.
So what is stock like? Again, I haven't sort of looked at it for a couple of weeks. So
dwindling. Things like, USB microphones, we're clean out. Apart from quite an expensive Lewitt microphone. It's been lots of keyboards and pianos that we're running out of. Those are the main culprits that I've dealt with anyway.
Is any new stock actually coming in at all?
Yeah, some of the... If it's a situation where the distributor is waiting for supply, those tend to be the ones that are really protracted delays or we're just not getting them. There's been a slowing of our deliveries.
Yeah, I can imagine. So if the distributor's got UK stock, then invariably it might be available to us if they haven't and it's pending or it's supposed to be coming from, the manufacturing source or whatever, then...
Just the amount of times I've said we've got no idea when we'll get these.
I mean, we say that quite often in normal circumstances. That's
true.
I mean, I can imagine it's really exasperated now.
Yeah, just a little bit.
But what else? I mean, I've ordered some other stuff and it just hasn't turned up. So we'll have to see. And ironically, that was the stuff I really need to get on with some of the work that I'm doing.
Yeah, it's always the way.
Yeah.
I had contemplated some other bits and pieces. I mean, ironically, I'm going to look to see if I can order some fencing tomorrow.
I can't imagine it being high demand, so you should be
all right. And I did speak to the supplier, but they were very uncertain about whether they're going to be open again. They were saying they were waiting to see if there was going to be another announcement from the government, any further lockdown or any more restriction, and they were going to take a judgment on it then and indicate that I should phone Monday. So... I'm going to do that. I mean, I had loads of fencing to replace and I've sort of utilized what I had and I need those little bits of extra stuff that, again, I would have just jumped in the car, nipped down the road and grabbed and not given it a second thought. Now I have to, like a military operation. Can I get this? Who can I get it from? I do note there's quite a few even mail order type of organizations who potentially could have been deemed as essential also stating they're going to close 100% and not take any orders.
Oh, yeah. Who have you seen?
Well, there was a tool shop in Twickenham that I use. I think they're called D&M, which is they're sort of a very highly stocked. They stock an extensive range of virtually every manufacturer of power tools and lots of other stuff as well. It's a bit like Aladdin's cave for a sort of tool fetishist. And they were trading up to Friday, and then they basically said, we're last orders will be this date, and then we won't be continuing. So whether that's staff pressure or what the circumstances of that is, but they've obviously decided it's
I'd guess more it's staffing probably.
And I can see that potentially is going to be an issue. And I know certainly there's certain organisations that are restricting their range and sort of trying to hone it in, because there's certain things I've tried to go on and have a look and see if you can order it, and it says this product has been designated non-essential. So you simply can't order it, even though you can view it on the website. There's no way of placing an order for it.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. They've got to prioritise what they can do.
I mean, it's a very strange sort of situation. It's sort of normal. It's like there's a modicum of normality still sort of functioning, underneath this sort of weird layer of abnormality that we're all experiencing.
Yeah. Well, Andy, what are you going to be doing with your extra free time in terms of media consumption, projects and things?
Well, I think I've said to you guys before and everything like that, I'm probably the only music producer that doesn't have a setup at home, which is quite frustrating. I've re-downloaded Native Instruments on my laptop, and I've decided to use this time to try an M-Reactor, which should prove moderately interesting.
You're getting modular.
I'm getting modular, mate. Yeah.
Are you going to look at trying to get hold of some sort of audio interface or something that you could just even a basic one? Or
I don't think so, because I don't have any instruments at home. They're all up at the studio.
Okay, that's fair enough. Fair enough.
My guitar is up at the studio. I've never had a synthesizer. Everything literally to do has been up there, because I've been literally going up to the studio 5 days a week, if not more, for the last year.
Okay, yeah.
So I think this is the weird one, is that I've literally used my flat as a place to eat and sleep, pretty much.
Which is fair enough. I mean, what's the situation at the studio in respect to work and so forth? Obviously, it's sort of severely limited. But I mean, are you getting on with work or projects?
Not really. No. It's just maintenance at the moment, to be honest. But we alternate. It's not myself that goes down there. It's our other business partner that's up there for various reasons. He works on the complex, so he'll just check in and make sure everything's all good. But other than that, I haven't been up there. Unfortunately, it's just that at this point there's not a very good reason to be honest. And
that's really totally understandable.
As much as I would like to kind of do
Do you see yourself grabbing a few bits and pieces, possibly getting your guitar, and sort of something that you can keep your hand in?
Yeah, if I can. It's funny you mentioned about the deliveries. Ironically, we've been waiting on a piece of equipment for over a year. So I believe, if I remember when I checked the invoice, we raised the PO on it. I think it was on the 6th of May 2019. And it arrived last Tuesday. And we've been waiting. So obviously we've been waiting for this for quite a while. And it's
what
now
is
come.
It, pray
but
tell?
Pray tell, it is a Cranesong quantum converter, analog to digital.
Oh, cloud. No way. I remember you telling us about that, actually.
I've probably been like badgering on about it over the last year. Because I've been so excited to get it.
I think we joshed you on a previous episode of the podcast about the because you were saying it's sort of built to order in the States. Is that correct?
That's it. Yeah, and I got kind of just that magic phone call, from Alan at ASAP Europe, who's been absolutely amazing at getting like a lot of these bits together for us. And yeah, I got the call from him. I think it was on Tuesday. And he said, yep, our supplier's got it in. We can get it shipped out to you as soon as possible. Can you just work out, obviously, how we're going to go about doing that? Arrange all the logistics. We did that. I think we pretty much settled the logistics, which I think was the last time I was up at the studio, which was Monday. And then, obviously, Monday evening, it was like, right, lockdown, bugger. How am I going to kind of put this all together?
Yeah. So when did you actually – when did you get your actual hands on – the actual item physically?
It's literally still in the post at the moment. So I haven't even seen the thing.
And has it been sent to the studio, or has it been sent to either of yourself or Kieran?
No, it's been sent to, residential address.
No, well, I mean, that's what I was going to say. I mean, obviously, you guys are keen to get it into the rack. You know, you've been waiting this long for it. I mean, most probably would. I mean, will you even sort of try it out? I mean, maybe not in anger with a customer, but will you sort of run something through it just to make sure it's all functional?
I may well do. If I can get up to when it all gets in and gets put up, I might just grab a taxi up to the studio or something like that. And
so, I mean, what's the public transport?
I'll just those two. Yeah, as soon as I can do, I will. Public transport at the moment is just, well, to get to our certain retailer, I have to get the train up there, so it's a little bit swings and roundabouts. But I just generally try and avoid it. I wouldn't go to the studio on the bus, namely because it's not really fair on the other people that are in the complex, to be honest.
No, that's fair enough. But I mean, have you seen? I mean, I don't use public transport per se, but I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know how reliable or regular it is actually at this time, or whether it's, you know, generally a reduced service everywhere.
Well, I'm in Reading at the moment, and the buses are like pretty much the only things on the road, ironically. So Reading's always been pretty good for buses.
But... Are there people on the buses?
Or... A couple of people. Yeah, a few people.
Yeah, Guildford buses have been pretty dead. There's a lot of them, but they're absolutely empty.
Yeah, this is what I mean. It's like there's one or two people on them.
Yeah, I've certainly seen the buses flying past and you see they're either completely empty or maybe one person on the bus.
Mm.
And I can appreciate why people don't want to use them. I mean, just for personal safety, to be honest.
It's not just that.
Well, hopefully Andy can get up to the studio and get that crane song going at some point. Hopefully you can enjoy it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not worth getting sick over. Let's put it that way. I've waited a bloody year for it. It can take its time. I'm sure it'll be worth it, but it's not worth like putting. You know, it's the same to everyone. It's not really worth putting yourself or other people in danger over this kind of stuff.
Of course, though, but I would advocate that you do at least run it up and make sure that it's functional, because you wouldn't want to find out sometime down the road that
it's
got an issue or something like that. It's stereo, isn't it?
Yes, it's stereo.
Yeah, wouldn't want to find.
I think I'd kick a fit if they, like, once everything calms down, if it was busted, that they wouldn't.
I'm sure they'd be absolutely fine, certainly under the current situation. I mean, or something like that that's sort of literally hand built is going to, you know, they're going to stand behind that particular product, and they would have tested it thoroughly. But, you know, just from my Zen Delay experience of the other week. It's most probably prudent to fire the thing up and just make sure that both channels are functioning and you can run audio through it and it does what it says on the tin, so to speak. And then you can put it to one side and know that when you come back to it, it's going to be there waiting for you and fully functional.
Yeah, no, that's not a bad shot at all.
Well, speaking of your kind of journey into Reactor, Andy, I've got a couple of synthy bits to chat about today. Sort of new releases. I think if you caught, I'm not going to remember how many episodes ago this was, potentially three, one of our episodes, I was speaking about, I think I had a call to arms to help me find a certain word. Or words or phrase to describe a collection of things that I enjoy. It's sort of a, you know, appreciation of aesthetic and handmade things. Anyway, on those lines, I think I'm slowly honing in on developing the three very specific pillars of a synth that I would like. And it obviously applies to nobody else, but it's a fun thought experiment. I found a synth recently that may... actually fall into that kind of category. So I'll outline where I've got to with these three pillars of a synthesizer that Ben will enjoy using. The first one is the aesthetic part. It's got to have something somewhat handmade, something kind of rustic or a certain tactility to it. So that's kind of just visually and holding the thing in your hands. The next pillar will be sound quality. Obviously, I don't want to use something that sounds rubbish. Generally, it'd be something quite evolving, organic in sound and use, and also potentially kind of surprising, you know, new sounds, interesting sounds. And in the third pillar being in the use of the device, what I actually want is a certain amount of obscurity and difficulty, because I find that quite inspiring. Potentially a limited amount of control, so it ends up being quite an exploratory, rewarding experience. So those three pillars, the only synth that actually falls under those three pillars that I have used is the Bastille Castle, which I own two of. There are potentially other synths that fall under that, so maybe a lot of the Seat Lombard stuff, but I've never seen them or tried them, so can't actually tell. Also the Make Noise No Coast, which still haven't tried, but I'm more familiar with. And this one that I discovered recently, a really small company, it's just one dude in New Orleans in America, Ouroboros Electronics. And there's this one that he's got called Alia or Alia, so it's A-L-E-A. And this is a two-voice, West Coast-y, banana jack, wooden piece of... it's delicious. It looks amazing. And nothing is labeled, so who knows what anything does. And some of the demos, I mean, I say some of, there is one demo, and it just sounds really, really cool. It's got kind of a shift register in there as a sequencer, two voices, low pass gates, the usual West Coasty stuff. Unfortunately, it is $600, so I may never...
So what's it called again?
May never meet one. So Ouroboros Electronics.
How's that spelled?
Which is O-U-R-O. Yep. B-O-R-O-S hyphen electronics. I'll actually put a link in our little chat that we have alongside the recording via Zencastr, so you can go and have a look at that. So the Alia or Alia, there is a YouTube video in there which I recommend you watch and listen to. One which is just sort of a sound demo. The other one where he's kind of synced it to a TR-606. But this seems to cover all the pillars, so I do hope I can meet one day.
So it looks like he's made a few various varieties. Yeah. So which one is it? So
there's only kind of one Alia or Alia. The previous different instrument, which is more East Coasty, is the System One.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've got a picture of the System One in front of me. But as you say, there's just knobs and jacks. There's no
No labeling, and I'm about that. Because it's not none. What I've discovered while thinking about my three pillars is no conventional synthesizers can possibly. Yeah, exactly. No conventional synthesizers can possibly fall under it. As soon as you have a keyboard, it becomes accessible. And I like the fact that these things are just generally weird. And this is the frustration I have with my modular system at the moment. Once you know enough about modular, you can pretty much figure out most modules, unless they go out of their way to be weird. And I find that traps me in certain patching routines, and I just kind of get stuck in the same thing. And as soon as I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing, I really enjoy that sound exploration. So along those lines, we did a quick test earlier. I can actually play some modular stuff live for you. So I've hooked up one of my Bastille Castles, and I thought if it's okay with you too, I might have just a quick jam, just to show you the kind of drony things I get out of it. What do you reckon?
Yeah, fire away.
Off the cuff. Here we go. Right, you'll have to let me know how the volume is, because I'm just going to turn the gain up as I've got it kind of plugged in. By my little waveform on Zencastr, that should be fine. I shall take a jam away.
Okay.
Thank you. Small drony boy.
Ah.
It's not typically musical, but if you can occasionally find some really fun little sweet spots, and it becomes this little industrial drone box. It's all digital, so when you tune it really low, it sounds gritty and gross.
So they're those little tiny little box things with the little jumpers, is that correct?
Yeah, so it's actually breadboard patch cable type things, and they're really tiny. They're, what are we talking, maybe 8 centimeters across. They're just sort of three AA batteries, or you can power them over USB, and they're just, they're great fun. Stick them through some reverb, and they're excellent. Looks like that's probably all we've got for this episode of Rack Addicts After Hours. Please do tune into the next one. We hope to have you listening to us next week. Stay safe. Don't go outside if you don't need to. And don't mention the C word. See you later.